Welcome to downtown Los Angeles. This is the weekly wrap-up where we get you caught up on the week's biggest stories the least depressing way possible. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Weekly Wrap, and subscribe free to the Weekly Wrap-Up at the iTunes Store. I'm also happy to say you're now listening to us on Extreme XM 165 in collaboration with SkidRowStudios.com. You can always hear us live 4 o'clock on Sundays as well at that very same Skid Row Studios. I am joined today by Drew Marks. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well.
And we have a special guest back today. It's been a long time. I guess you're on parole. Rich Slayton, how are you, brother?
Doing all right. My calves hurt because I ran over here. I got shin splints.
4 minutes ago, he was blocks away.
He was one block away, but he doesn't run a lot.
It was more than one. It was like two.
I am your host, Ken August. Before we get started, I'll tell you later up in the show, the Michigan governor just signed a bill that critics say will bury the unions. I wonder if it'll be under the same end zone in Giant Stadium as Jimmy Hoffa. Republicans have successfully ordered one Secretary of State hold the rice. Also, the U.S. sends 400 troops to the border of Syria and Turkey. They shouldn't be there long. Just ask our troops in Afghanistan or Iraq or Korea. Egyptians started voting yesterday on a controversial new constitution. I think the options were yes, no, and please don't kill me for voting no. In entertainment news, the Golden Globe nominations came out. My money's on Lindsay Lohan for best performance while on parole. And in sports, the 4 previously suspended New Orleans Saints are allowed to come marching back in. And the Los Angeles Angels signed free agent Josh Hamilton for $125 million. And his contract is only half the size of the guy they signed last year. But first, our slogan here at the Weekly Wrap-Up is the week's biggest story is the least depressing way possible. And sometimes a story is just too damn depressing and there's nothing we can really do except grieve and talk about it. And this is the case this week with that horrible shooting at an elementary school in Connecticut. First, let's listen to this from ABC News.
He was armed to the teeth with legally purchased guns and went from obscurity to infamy.
Tonight, no one yet seems to be able to answer the question why 20-year-old Adam Lanza attacked the Newtown Elementary School. Adam Lanza was a child of an affluent Connecticut town. His deadly rampage began at the family home, where police say this morning he first killed his mother, Nancy. A family friend, Barbara Frey, told ABC's Jim Avila that the son was troubled and the mother was demanding of him. After killing his mother, the young man, authorities say, headed to the Sandy Hook Elementary School wearing a bulletproof vest. Authorities say he was armed with a semi-automatic assault rifle and 2 high-powered pistols. Police say the guns were legally purchased using a license belonging to a family member. But what even the crime profilers are having a hard time figuring out tonight is why the attack on the children at the school. Most of them killed on the spot, according to authorities. The only theory is based on reports that his mother, divorced 3 years ago and unemployed, had worked as a teacher's aide at the school.
This was the second deadliest school shooting in U.S. history. The fact that that's even a stat, to me, says something needs to be done. But before we get into that topic and a few other related topics, sadly, that's not the only gun shooting. I want to thank Rich for being here for multiple reasons. One is Drew and I are not easy people to hang out with in the first place. So I'll give you that one right off the bat. Myself, you say. Okay, fair enough. Rich, also, I'm putting him in a horrible position of he has a slightly different view on guns than Drew and I have. And I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but before we get into what those differences are, I understand I'm putting you in a ridiculous position after a tragedy like this to talk about something and even attempt to give a more pro-gun view. So I appreciate you walking us through that. And also you were hesitant to come here for the reasons of you didn't want to talk about it too soon after. Is it too soon to talk about? I don't know. I'm going to talk about it. So I appreciate you walking me through that and helping us.
If it's too soon, you can just sit there and smile.
Yeah.
Just
that's what Drew does most weeks, so you're fine.
That's how I go through most of my life.
Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about on this is the media's report. The media's attempt to get the story out as fast as possible reported the wrong guy did it.
Well, he had his brother's ID.
Is that what he ate? Brother's
yeah, that's
ID?
The word.
That's nice. You would think there may be more to it before you publicly put everywhere that, hey, it's the wrong guy, considering the other guy was on Facebook at the time.
It's a Trayvon Martin thing. It's everything. It's like everybody's rushing to get the story. Well, we'll get into why I think this whole thing's a problem afterwards, but go ahead.
You have to be first to get the listeners, though, to get the viewers.
But,
right. That's the way that the news media works now.
If you're 30 seconds later than the other network...
Whatever they're tuned into, though,
that's what I'm saying.
They're not going to switch the channel.
That's what I'm saying. So they're not going to switch the channel to go, oh, wait a second, which first name Lanza did it? That being said, I'm not claiming it was anything other than a mistake, but it's not the first time in, you know, our 24-hour news cycle time frame nowadays where you rush, facts fall to the wayside as long as, you know, speed is more important than facts.
Well, he did have the ID. That's one of the few ones where you're like, okay, I get the mistake.
Right. I didn't even know that.
No, they did. But I think that's just so much less of the bigger problem. The biggest problem I have with the whole story thing, and this goes to why I think these things tend to happen, and I know we're not going to completely agree on this, is I think the problem is the notoriety. The quote that guy said, from obscurity to from obscurity to infamy, that's the big problem here, and that's why I think these things are happening more and more. Yes, you're always going to have crazy people. They're going to find ways to act out, but the notoriety that they are granted is the motivating force to do these huge, heinous things. I think without that, he may have killed his mother. He may have killed somebody. But now, nowadays, it's like, how do I make a grand statement?
You see, I can't. I'm walking a fine line because I can't defend the media generally in most cases as far as sensationalizing whatever the hell they can. These things, these tragedies included. I can say, because I've heard a lot about the media lately and them, quote, sensationalizing or making celebrities out of these people.
Just the attention. I'm not saying whether it's pro. I'm not saying
I understand
celebrities.
I understand. Just the amount of attention.
Yes.
But I mean, for this kid, for instance, I'm not pretending to know his motivation. But I can say that he killed his mother. More than likely, his mother probably had something to do. At least his relationship or whatever was going on in his twisted mind had something to do with him going to where she used to work and killing a bunch of kids. Mm-hmm. Chances of those not being connected are slim. I don't know where you fit in. Hey, it'd be cool to make sure this is a grand statement on the media as well, which is my problem, is that it does happen and I can't defend it. I just can't put it up on the priority list above guns, mental health care, whichever in the Belcher case last week, as far as domestic violence. There are other issues. Media is one of them.
I'm not suggesting if you do that the problem ceases to exist. You certainly have to take all those things and address them. But you absolutely, I don't think, can take that out of the equation. I think...
How would you report a story like this then? I mean, you know it's going to get media. I can tell you the kid's name, but I asked you the other day, what's the name of the guy who did the shooting in Colorado? I mean, give me 30 seconds, I can come up with it.
I can barely name Rich Slayton. I can't remember his name.
Name
I know
Rich
him,
Slayton.
All right? If I don't write it down, so I'm a horrible example. I don't remember
members'
names.
Of many things.
Yes.
But so how would you cover a story like this then?
Because I'm not claiming I have the answer, but I think the same way, like, you know, we used to not do rape stories. They didn't, you know, and then they said, oh, now we just won't release the victim's name.
I didn't know they didn't do. I know they would never release the names of the people.
Names. But we used to, the news didn't used to cover these sorts of things.
Like, the news I think that's wrong. The news has always covered these things.
I agree with you.
Mass killings overall, whether they be gun related or not, have dropped consistently throughout since the 1920s when they peaked, when mass killings peaked. They've dropped consistently.
That was the heyday for mass killings.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The 1920s. 1927 was the peak year, was sort of marked as the peak year for mass killings.
Is that mafia stuff related?
It's all things. Including people who burn down a place on purpose and kill people. It's including a lot of different factors. I think that it might play a role in especially young people committing mass killings now. But I don't think it's making a causal relationship, that the media is doing a causal relationship that increases mass killings. I mean, evidence says that's not true.
I mean, here's the thing is, if you look through the stats of some of the worst killings and school shootings, which is, like I say, a ridiculous phrase to begin with, most of them come in since 2000, or at least a lot of them come since 2000.
99,
And 99, I apologize, to Columbine. So... Yeah, I mean, before the 24-hour news cycle, you had people going up in watchtowers, in clock towers, I mean, and shooting people. So I don't, if it's not the media, then it's an Ozzy Osbourne song. Then it's the violence of the video games. Then it's the movies. If somebody is the type of person to do something like this, eventually they'll either find a reason or a justification or whatever it is they need in their head to eventually push them to do this, I would think. Not that they are all doing it from the same place, but still, that's my problem.
I still think there's an element of like the Guinness Book of World Records thing. It's like, you got to be bigger. It's like,
That might account for some of the more recent actions, but I don't think that accounts for mass killings overall. I think what if you want to look at it much more clearly, I think there's a pattern. If you look in the 62 mass killings that have taken place since 1982 in this country, 43 of those 62 have been perpetrated by white males between the ages of 17, between the ages of, sorry, of 14 and 35. What is it? Where is the cultural line? What is it that makes that age group and that demographic likely to commit mass killings?
I've never liked white people, Rich.
You're not, I mean, look at it though. Out of 62 mass killings in the last two decades, or am I doing math wrong? Three decades. The gross majority of them, 43 to 62, are from white males in that demographic. What is it that's happening there culturally that's not happening significantly by comparison in the black community and the Mexican community? What is it about white young people that makes them want to get that sort of fame? And so if it's the media, the other communities that aren't white are watching the same media. Why aren't they having the same response? So I think there's something, I don't know where it comes from, whether it stems from something that we can go back to our puritanical ancestors, put something deep inside us, or whether Europeans with their history of violence throughout the world are a more violent type of people from Viking lineage. Who knows what it is?
There's also two things. One, I want to compliment you on being the first person in God knows how long to show up in a show with actual facts and stats. That's fantastic. Who knew? Research. Drew, research.
I'm not doing it.
The other thing is you talk about, I mean, I can't tell you as far as, you know, why white people are doing it more, but there's an outside chance that in this country, if you're not white, before you get to the stage of I'm going to plan all this shit, you've already been bothered by the cops.
Or in jail.
Yes. If you have guns, yeah, you may still be, you know, they may throw you in jail, but they're harassing you way before you come up with a map in your basement with pinpoints of where you're going to kill people.
There's a certain level of affluency. I mean, these people are doing this.
This is a well-to-do neighborhood that this kid came from.
Yes, because the thing is, they're doing these with semi-automatic and automatic weapons.
Which brings us to the next topic.
That are generally not accessible to lower income.
You're absolutely wrong. You're 100% absolutely wrong.
Yeah, I don't know about
it. I mean, we can go number by number. I think that's a waste of time, but you're 100% absolutely wrong with accessibility.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know the cost. I don't know the cost of the guns, but I can tell you based on my brief time in Ohio University, it was not hard to get guns.
No, I'm not saying it is.
No, but I mean any kind of gun really? I wanted. I mean, I believe I walked out with just, I didn't want a gun, so I walked out with a crossbow. I was still shit-faced from the night before. I walked out with a crossbow with a bunch of guys with
weapons.
Well,
that's a whole different problem.
That is a problem. But I mean, it was easy. Nobody asked anything. They went, sure, here's a desk drawer full of ammunition, and we walked out. That was basically it.
How much are automatic weapons?
Well, it depends. I mean, most handguns, automatic weapons in particular, I'm not even sure.
Assault rifle.
Well, first of all, assault rifles, typically in the United States, automatic weapons, you can't really get your hand on those as much. It's mostly semi-automatic assault rifles.
Semi-automatic, yes.
They'll range anywhere from the low thousands to the high five digits, depending on the quality of weapon you're purchasing.
That's pretty expensive.
Yeah, high five digits, but you know, if you want to get a semi-automatic rifle, you don't necessarily need to go with the most expensive.
Let's talk about it being expensive. I was just in Austin, Texas, and we were looking at some properties out there, and we were in houses where they were basically shanties, and people who lived in those houses had 56-inch flat-screen TVs. So just because you don't have money doesn't mean that you spend your money appropriately.
That is also fair. Now, and I want to get to what we talked about earlier, because I had spoken with somebody else about who had said to me, yeah, I don't know if you should talk about this yet, you know, out of respect for the dead, which I also disagree with.
Especially since they're not listening.
Yeah, and we're not speaking. Yeah, no, we breeze through him when he does that. But we're not speaking for them. We're speaking about them. How do you stop this from happening again? If you're speaking for people that have just died, I understand. I understand saying, hey, they can't express their opinion. Shut your face. But that's not what we're talking about. There shouldn't be a, hey, everybody pretend this didn't happen for a few minutes. You can only feel sad.
I don't buy that argument. It's not the time to discuss it. It's not exactly the time to discuss it.
I agree with you, but this is Obama talking. Now, when he spoke, he stopped a couple of times. I wanted to grab, he almost cried a couple of times and did a little bit, I believe, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to play a long clip. So this is him hinting at gun control in the future.
As a country, we have been through this too many times. Whether it's an elementary school in Newton or a shopping mall in Oregon, or a temple in Wisconsin, or a movie theater in Aurora, or a street corner in Chicago. These neighborhoods are our neighborhoods, and these children are our children. And we're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this, regardless of the politics.
A illegal, whether there should be some kind of more restrictions on how to get them. What pisses me off more than anything else is the don't talk about it. Whenever anything bad happens, don't talk about it. And I'm not quoting you. I'm quoting millions who say, oh, great, I'm sure Obama's going to use this to his advantage. Or you're like, well, if you can't talk about it when a gun thing like this happens, an event like this happens, first of all, they happen too often to then ever talk about it. Second of all, it's if you can't talk about it at the time, then you're waiting for something to not happen. And then you guys can say, oh, well, you know what? And I don't mean you guys, but I mean gun supporters can say, oh, well, you know what? Nothing's going wrong. What are you complaining about?
You're addressing a problem that doesn't exist.
Yeah. So at the very least, the problem should be discussed. And the reason it isn't discussed, whether or not anything would happen anyway, is because people fear the NRA and backlash from right-wing voters. That's the reason it can't be discussed, is for political reasons. Forget the argument on who's right or what should happen. That's annoying in itself, that you can't deal with an issue for those reasons, because you don't want to piss off the wrong lobbyist. Now, as far as not talking about the issue, like I was saying, I can't see a reason to not. I can't see.
Here's the hard part from someone from the perspective of someone who's more a Second Amendment favorer is and when you talk about it, and I think we should talk about it now. I mean, this is someone who I tend to be. You brought me on here because I'm a Second Amendment advocate, and in times like this, I have to question my beliefs. I'm here questioning whether I'm right. And that makes it very difficult. And I think a lot of people, some people are just idiots whose first response is not, this is awful and these children have been tragically taken, but their response is, uh-oh, someone's going to take my guns, and that's an awful response. But other people are, the other response is, well, we can't have a non-emotional discussion about this right now. And when we're going into the discussion about guns, which we should have, from a perspective where I'm already off my back foot. Now, I think that the discussion should be emotional. It is emotional. Especially in a situation like this. But that's the logic is, a lot of people don't want to have the discussion right now because they feel like the discussion is not even on an even footing.
But I think the people that want to have the discussion who are saying we need certain gun rules and restrictions, it's always an emotional issue because you are fighting to try and prevent something that is clearly going to be a hugely emotional reaction.
Absolutely.
And when it happens again, it's too late. And if you don't talk about it then... When you
know,
do it.
Like me,
that's why I'm here.
Yeah, I believe that there are certain weapons. And I'm not anti-gun. I'm not one of these people who make all guns illegal. I think that's ridiculous. We don't need to do it. But I do believe that certain guns have no reason to be in civilian hands.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's start there. Let's talk about certain guns.
Yeah, let's go semi-automatic weapons and the two things I want to ask about: semi-automatic weapons and how necessary they are,
assault rifles
and handguns. Handguns, which I understand are ridiculously popular, but you can't even hunt with them. You can't legally hunt with handguns, can you?
Well, let's make sure we understand the definition of semi-automatic handguns, because people often don't understand that
two different
definition.
I was semi-automatic weapons and handguns.
Semi-automatic weapons in general do not mean that you can pull a trigger and suddenly shoot 3-5 rounds. Semi-automatic weapons are weapons that automatically reload the next round for you quickly and allow you to, with individual trigger action, fire multiple rounds. Be that with a handgun, the difference between that would be a bolt action. Or, for example, with a handgun, a revolver.
A revolver, right.
So I think that...
Why are those necessary? I mean, has a deer fired back ever? Like, why do you need to shoot that fast?
Well,
are you spraying bullets?
This gets into the discussion where we're talking about the purpose of the Second Amendment. The purpose of the Second Amendment has nothing to do with hunting. Hunting's great. I believe that... I actually am supportive of hunters. I think they're more responsible meat eaters than someone who goes to Ralph's and buys stuff off the shelf.
Fair enough.
You're talking as a way to keep the government... To keep people, as a
measure of safety overall, a semi-automatic weapon is a significant better measure of safety. And I'm talking about day-to-day crime. I don't want to, like, that's all garbage. I'm talking about the possibility of societal collapse, the possibility of what to do in an emergency like you are in Katrina, and now you have someone banging down your door for your food. In those situations, you want a semi-automatic weapon rather than either a bolt action or a revolver. Now, most people who do use those weapons for self-defense purposes, talking about pistols, prefer revolvers because they're more reliable than semi-automatic weapons in many cases. But semi-automatics I have no problem with. What I have a problem with, and this is from a gun guy, whenever someone says ban assault rifles, I always think that's the biggest load of garbage ever. What you should ban is handguns. Over 3/4 of crimes committed with a firearm are committed with handguns.
They're easy to conceal.
You can conceal. They're easy to carry, easy to manipulate. Really, if we were to talk about any massive change to what's allowed and what's not allowed, the assault weapons ban of 1993 had almost no effect on gun crimes. But what does have an effect on gun crimes throughout the world, in countries that do allow firearm possession, it's when they disallow handgun possession that creates a massive difference. So if we're going to talk about continuing to allow possession of firearms, but drastically changing how we possess firearms, let's talk about handguns. Because assault rifles, they look pretty, they look like a big deal, but they are not the big problem in this country.
Well, as far as the numbers, a couple of things. As far as the numbers, no argument. I mean, numbers are numbers. But to me, that doesn't, and I think handguns, they don't serve a purpose other than I'm going to kill you. No guns serve a purpose other than I'm going to kill you or hunting or practice for hunting or killing you. However, the problem with handguns or the real problem is when people argue behind the, hey, you know, we're allowed to have guns if you want to hunt, if you want to do things, you can't do that with a handgun. As far as these semi-automatic weapons, you know, and I think a lot of, you know, when people say ban all these or ban all these, they don't necessarily know what gun is what. Myself included. However, there seems to be a certain level of military style that does not need to be in the hands of regular people. If you're not using it for guns and you're literally just storing it up for when multiple people are coming to your house that you have to shoot all of them in a hurry, that's way more rare than when actually kill somebody.
But here's the thing, of a handgun should be way more rare. It should be drastically more rare than it is right now. We should not be using guns so much. And the guns that if we're going to have guns available, the guns that are available should be the ones that are useful for those rare circumstances. So for me, I would much, if you gave me the opportunity to switch out every handgun in this country for an M16, for a semi-automatic, not automatic M16, I would 100% do that. And you would see the death rate by guns in this country drop
fantastically. I agree, because most people are not going to take those and start walking around because you're easily identified.
Yes, that is true.
I have a problem with someone having a shotgun in their house for home protection. And yeah, can they take them outside and do that? But no, I agree. Handguns, there's no arguing that handguns are responsible for the greatest amount of killing on an individual basis. I don't think you're going to run into that. You know, when you get into these mass killings, I think the handguns, yeah, they're using them, but you do tend to hear about the other guns more in these instances.
I wanted to go back to the Second Amendment as well, because the Second Amendment, I think, is one of the most twisted bits of legislation I've ever heard. Here is what the Second Amendment actually says. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So first of all, when this was done, let's go back and
it was a well-organized militia. Yeah. It was not every individual for themselves.
Yes. What is the well-organized, well-regulated militia, and what state are you actually keeping free with your individual guns? So the whole purpose of what I believe the initial intent was is bullshit what people are hiding behind. However, to your defense or to the defense of people who back the Second Amendment, doesn't matter what I think, because since then the Supreme Court has actually said, no, the Second Amendment does uphold an individual's right. But it blows my mind when people want to say, well, no, it's the Constitution. First of all, a lot of those people who say you can't change the Constitution want to change it to stop gay people from getting married. So that's bullshit right off the bat. But the Constitution was not written by God, which is a whole nother conversation to begin with if we wanted to get into him. But these guys had muskets.
Exactly. It pertained to the weapons of the time.
Yeah. And it was a place where people, when you were talking about protecting yourself, yeah, a band of people may show up and take your log cabin and everything you had. You better have a goddamn gun. Different. If you want to stop the U.S. government, I don't care how many guns you have. They have a button that can make you disappear.
I remember last time we talked about this, you brought up that argument. If that were the case, if the U.S. military could just wipe you out whenever they wanted to, we would be out of Afghanistan long ago.
No, it doesn't mean they will or that won't bring other worlds on. But I'm saying if you think, not you individually, but if people in this country think, I need my guns to stop the U.S. government, that's not happening.
Right.
Jimmy in Oklahoma with his 45 guns is not stopping the U.S. Army. That's not happening.
Yes, but 500 Jimmys who then are able to create the ability to buy time to get heavier weapons, which is exactly what's happened in Afghanistan, is the ability to fight back long enough to develop IEDs and larger weapons.
None of those.
I mean, now we're getting into Red Dawn scenarios.
I understand. Which,
to be honest, I believe in to a certain extent.
Which is, I think, where a lot of us differ. I don't. I don't believe, and I'm not saying that I trust government, but I don't believe that a band of people are going to be able, not our government, not the, and I don't mean that the government can't ever be overthrown. It happens all the time through history. but you're not gathering enough weapons and then organizing enough people to arm or regulate any militia that's going to take down the U.S. government. And the governments in the Middle East don't have the same shit we have.
Let's talk about the Second Amendment a little bit deeper. Because I think some people defend the Second Amendment because they like guns. And I'm a big Second Amendment advocate for a number of reasons. Some of them being that I believe that a responsible law-abiding citizen should not only be able to possess a firearm, but probably should in many cases, depending, of course, on not being a crazy individual.
Background checks, I wanted to ask you as well.
Absolutely. I'm completely fine with background checks. When it comes to my support of the Second Amendment comes from my support of the Bill of Rights overall. And I believe wholeheartedly that we need to protect that document. I differ very much from you on this one. Because when I look at an assault on one part of the Bill of Rights, which we've already had, forget Second Amendment, Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments have been assaulted drastically in the last 30 years in this country.
How much was a black person worth in the Constitution? Wasn't he worth a fraction?
That's why we've amended parts of the Constitution now.
So it's not perfect.
It's not perfect. Here's where I get nervous, though, with the Second Amendment. And here's where I get nervous with doing things other than adding more amendments rather than going back and striking stuff from the record. Is that the exact same logic that can be used to say, well, the Second Amendment creates a clear and present danger can with 100% be used to attack the First Amendment. And that frightens me drastically. You can make the argument that the First Amendment caused our consulate in Benghazi to be attacked. You can make the argument that a significant proportion of the violence in this country comes from people who run their mouths and suddenly a violent action occurs. In Canada, you had a comedian last year who was fined, I think, $25,000 and banned from performing for a year because he got into a fight with a lesbian couple and he used a slur. There's a guy in Britain right now who's being indicted because when a black soccer player went down with an injury, he tweeted some racist tweets. Well, that's real. And so when people start going, oh, this is not a sacred document, we can just go and change this because of clear and present danger. Now I start going, okay, well, what's going to happen with the First, Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments?
No doubt, but you already know that things can be amended. So that doesn't mean just because, if I back the First Amendment, the amendment with everything I got, that doesn't necessarily mean now I have to back everything else.
There's a level of principle, though, when you start saying that certain type of dangers. Now, in terms of the changes you were talking about in terms of race in this country, the difference between that and the Second Amendment was at that point, that language specifically took out one piece of our country, one piece of our community, and made them a second-class citizen. That needed to be changed significantly. Right now, we're talking about a law that applies universally. It doesn't apply differently to blacks, to whites, to Mexicans, to handicaps.
Even doesn't make it right still, but yes. Good.
I was going to say, it's very easy to lump all those things together, and I understand your point. But as things evolve, certain things fall under that umbrella that change, and the way we've created and modified and increased the firepower of certain guns, you can't just keep them under the same umbrella. You have to be willing to address it. You can't just go, look, we can't touch it, so just let it run amok.
I agree. We should change how we deal with firearms in this country drastically. But going after the Second Amendment as a piece of our Constitution,
I don't think people are trying to do that. What I think people are, it's the ones who are defending it who hide behind it, yes, and say any modification is an attack on the Second Amendment.
Yeah,
that's the problem I have. No, you can have logical reforms, and it is not a blatant attack on the Second Amendment. But I don't think you would argue that, you watch some of the right-wing, Fox News, whatever, where any discussion is an attack overall on the Second Amendment.
I mean, and you've already said you're fine with background checks. You're fine with things like that. I said, what happens when you have guns? I mean, we went from muskets to semi-automatic things. Now, what happens, fully automatic things? What happens when you now have guns that have the ability to kill 200 people at one time? I don't know how that happens yet, but, well, that obviously, people can't have nukes. Why can't people have nukes or rocket-propelled grenades? Because it's too easy to cause death and mass destruction. You need one idiot, and all he has to do is push a button. So when do you draw the line? You're drawing the line somewhere because the weapons aren't the same as what they used to be. So when do you draw the line? I would say you draw the line when people don't have to kill you hand by hand and they can stand there and fire through a room. That's when I say. Now, I don't say strike the Second Amendment. I don't really have a problem. I know hunting is legal. I don't have a problem with shotguns or hunting rifles or whatever in your house. However, concealed weapons, the fight to let people have it everywhere, the no background checks, all of that is outrageous. And the whole argument, before we move on, because I don't want to spend the whole show on this.
I think we should.
the whole argument of, well, you can't really outlaw just the bad guys will have guns. Here's the problem with that argument is, one, by that logic, then therefore you don't outlaw anything ever, which is another argument to have. The other thing is there's countries that have done it. You look at Britain. Britain had 59 gun deaths in 2009 or 2010. 59 compared to our approximately 9,000.
There are some big practicalities that have become questions. Number one, the reason why Britain has so few deaths is because they regulate handguns. And they have to have very strict gun laws overall. But handgun laws specifically are very, they're illegal. You cannot have a handgun in Britain, which is the number one reason why their handgun homicide rate's so lower. Now, another thing to take into account is that Britain is a small island where the regulation of commerce is very easy.
One-fifth.
We share a massive border with an extremely volatile state. And you get to the idea of
no doubt.
Those are going to be coming through, not to mention the fact that Britain didn't already have the stockpile we have.
No doubt.
This is from someone who is mostly on... This is a weird position that I'm in, where I believe in the Second Amendment wholeheartedly. I have some differing views from most people he would consider liberal, but I'm more on your side than you think.
Than for regulations. But now, and I agree with that, and I would always say that there would be, even if they try to have tighter restrictions on guns, there would be that main problem of, you know, that overlapping time period where just the people that you're hoping are the people that are giving into guns are people you're not worried about.
Yeah.
There's no doubt there would be.
There is a flood. I mean, there's so many out there. How do you...
But when we're talking 58...
start somewhere.
When we're talking 58 people to 9,000 people, you're talking a big difference, even if there is some overlap in that time frame. I mean, Germany alone, 0.91% of Germans per every 100,000 people, 0.91 gets killed by a gun, as opposed to over 14 with the U.S., every 100,000 people. And last I checked, Germans aren't afraid of killing people
much. Generally not.
This is another interesting thing to talk about. This seems almost slightly off topic, but not exactly. You know, a lot of people I saw like crazy the internet blow up with ban all guns, and that's not your position, of course. But you know what no one ever talks about is let's reestablish the 55 mile per hour speed limit across this country and make the penalty for a second DUI a complete loss of driving privileges forever. In this country right now, about 2.7% of children's deaths per year are from gun-related homicide. 8.1% of those come from automobile accidents. This is not to take away, let's not talk about guns. But if we're going to talk about how to make this country safer, why is it... I think that the reason why guns become the conversation is because for most people, especially, and no offense with the use of the word, because I'm generally pretty liberal, for most liberals, getting rid of guns does not change their... doesn't inconvenience them at all. What would inconvenience them is driving 55 miles an hour
rather than
driving 75.
There's no doubt. The difference I would say, and then we're going to have to move on, but the difference that I would say is that, and it falls under the same argument when people give me the... Well, knives kill people. Are you going to outlaw that? Or this kills people. And the argument is guns are made to kill. Different, not saying that things that kill should not be addressed, but guns are made to kill as opposed to things used improperly or poorly, like knives, you know, other weapons, cars, things along those lines. They're not being used as should be, or bad shit happens sometimes by mistake. That's different than, hey, here's a weapon that can kill people easily.
Yeah, you're right.
And people aren't generally using them as weapons.
That is true. Yeah. All right.
I came on here because you asked me to. I want to make sure people are listening going, know that I'm wrestling with my opinions on this right now as well. I've been questioning my beliefs with this the last couple of days. And I think that no matter what side of this you're on, this should bring up a lot of questions for you.
I want to thank you very, very much for walking us through that. It's a lot easier to have the conversation when it's not two sides having them separately. You know, it's a lot easier to have this conversation when you can explain, you know, some of the thinking behind it and some of the logic that, you know, Drew and I may not have had. So I appreciate that very, very much. Fortunately for us, let's move on and we'll cruise through some stuff. If Jimmy Hoffa was alive today, how's that for you? He'd probably be trying to get out of the cement they buried him in, but he'd also be furious about his beloved Michigan becoming the 24th state to adopt the right to work law. Let's listen to this from ABC News.
Perhaps no place in America more closely associated with unions than the state of Michigan. And today, thousands of union workers descended on the Capitol to protest a new law they believe could be an ominous signal for unions and worker paychecks everywhere.
Michigan Republican lawmakers approving landmark legislation lifting the requirement that workers in unionized workplaces pay union dues. The Republican governor has signed the law. Supporters call it right to work, but unions say it's nothing less than an effort to cut their bargaining power. Less dues means less influence. The AFL-CIO says that the average worker in right-to-work states earns $1,500 less than workers in states without those laws.
Okay, so the basically what this law does, for anyone who doesn't know, it's the 24th state to do it. It forbids unions from charging mandatory dues to their people. So why would you pay dues? And without dues, how much power and influence can the union have?
None. I'm in more than one union. I'm in a couple. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm in the Actors Union. I'm in the Craft Service Union.
But you guys get paid way too much, though.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we should call that union. But, no, I mean, and you know, we were talking about the NRA as far as a group that people are scared to cross, or sometimes we were talking about guns and people just defend it automatically. My only problem with unions, because I think to get rid of unions is ridiculous. I think once you get rid of unions, you'll go back to the problem that originally caused the need for unions. The problem is unions have also gotten to the point, not all of them, but have gotten to the point where it doesn't matter what's right or wrong. We're going to fight for as much as we can. So we'll always ask for more than we really should get, so then we can give something up and negotiate.
There are a lot of problems with unions. Now, I'm generally pro-union, but there, you know, I'll acknowledge there are problems in terms of union promoting by seniority. There are people, I'm not going to name names. There are people in my life who are in unions.
Name it.
No.
Name them.
I really can't. People in my life who are in unions, who are young, who are talented, who are working hard, and there are people who are in the same offices as them who do almost nothing and who can't get fired pretty much because of the strength of their union. So yeah. There needs to be union reform, but getting rid of unions and right to work is not what it is.
No, yeah. I agree with you. Union reform is big. Drunk.
I think the problem is it's the same thing we find in so many, in our last discussion and in other things. There's going to be problems like regulation. People are, you know, before the election, people are like, regulation is bad. It's like, no, regulation is good. You can it can be overdone. You have to address problems as they exist.
Be specific. Which regulation is bad?
Stop with these giant umbrellas, because that's how nothing gets fixed. You have to identify problems and work on correcting them. But to say unions are bad or regulations are bad, it's like, no, unions were formed because workers were being abused.
Yeah. Yeah.
And without unions, as Gus said, workers would go back to being abused. Left to their own devices, corporations are not looking to look out for their benefit.
No, they're looking to make the biggest profit. That's what most, and it doesn't mean there aren't good bosses and things along those lines, but as a corporation, you're looking to make the biggest profit.
Right.
So that, I agree with you. As far as the umbrella, because it's ridiculous to say unions weren't here first and then corporations built around them. Unions popped up because people were getting screwed over.
And it was unsafe.
Yes. As, you know, that the garment fire in what was it, India?
Well, there's been a couple. I think they had something like 11 or something there.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Washington, D.C., where the longest and worst game of chicken ever is still going on. There's 2 weeks left to the fiscal cliff. The White House made a new proposal, dropping how much they were asking for in taxes, and the Republicans countered with, well, tell us what numbers would make our plan work. Listen to this from Newsy.
The deadline for the so-called fiscal cliff drawing ever nearer. President Barack Obama and House Speaker John Boehner met for an unscheduled meeting Thursday evening, their second meeting this week. According to Bloomberg's Business Week, Obama and Boehner have been stymied in negotiations, with the president and congressional Democrats saying they won't discuss spending cuts unless Republicans agree to higher tax rates for top earners, while Republicans are insisting on reductions to entitlement programs such as Medicare. National Review's Jonah Goldberg tells Fox News he believes President Obama isn't truly looking to reach agreement. Rather, he wants to watch the Republican Party go up in flames over the fiscal cliff, and so far, it's working.
What Boehner should probably do at this point is simply take the middle-class tax cuts as permanent, which would be a huge conservative victory, eat it on the raising the top rates, and then live to fight another day.
Reuters notes there are only 18 days until the Bush-era tax cuts expire and everyone's taxes increase.
Not even 18 days anymore. Same shit. I mean, basically, it's just positioning. I don't know how the Republicans can technically win this at any point in time. Obama's already ran on it, won, And even if they didn't do anything, that not that that would necessarily make them give in, but even if they didn't do anything, the tax cuts expire. So they can't stop that from happening.
And then you said they have to re-grant them to the middle class.
Right. So the question is whether they'll do that and try to save face. I think what they're trying to figure out now is how do they stay save face? Do they let it go over the cliff and then just okay those things so it doesn't look like they okayed dropping, the tax cuts for the rich? Or are they going to catch too much shit for letting us go over the fiscal cliff and they'll get blamed for it?
I think they're just backed in a corner already. They don't have an out anymore. And now they're just, you back a dog into a corner, that thing just starts biting whatever's there. And that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. But I think one thing that they're doing to try, one victory they just got was Susan Rice. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see whether that's their lone victory that they can balance up against having to give in on a fiscal cliff.
If they get Kerry's seat, then that's two.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, that's what this battle probably was more for than what Susan Rice said.
Yes.
Susan Rice, whose appearance on Meet the Press was probably the worst talk show appearance since Tom Cruise jumped on Oprah's couch, has withdrawn her consideration to replace Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. This is Newsy.
United Nations Ambassador Susan Rice will not be the next U.S. Secretary of State. After weeks of criticism from Republicans in Congress over her handling of the Benghazi consulate attack, Rice withdrew her name from consideration in a letter to the president first obtained by NBC News on Thursday. If nominated, I am now convinced that the confirmation process would be lengthy, disruptive, and costly to you and to our most pressing national and international priorities. That trade-off is simply not worth it to our country. For months now, Senators John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and Kelly Ayotte have accused Rice of misleading the American public when she said the Benghazi attack was the result of a spontaneous protest, not a pre-planned terrorist attack. Rice's withdrawal means Senator John Kerry is again the frontrunner to replace Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in Obama's second term.
Kerry, you're back in, buddy. All right, let's go to foreign affairs. The U.S. on Tuesday formally recognized the Syrian opposition coalition, which is nice because hopefully they were there on Friday to welcome the 400 U.S. troops we just sent to Syria-Turkey border. This is Newsy.
The Pentagon announced Friday the U.S. is sending two Patriot missile defense systems to Turkey in order to help it defend against possible rocket strikes from Syria. CNN has more.
This move was expected as the civil war in Syria destabilizes the Assad regime. In addition, 400 U.S. troops will be deployed to operate the missile batteries.
According to Bloomberg, the Patriot batteries capable of shooting down enemy missiles will remain in Turkey for an unspecified period of time. Turkey, which has been supporting the Syrian opposition to President Bashar al-Assad, has been worried it is vulnerable to Syrian missiles, including Scuds that might be tipped with chemical weapons. U.S. intelligence recently showed that the Assad regime had moved to begin the arm weapon that would involve the use of chemical and biological materials.
So 400 troops going to the border in a war we're not even in. Russia's not all that happy about it. We're saying, now technically, once these Patriot missiles are on that border, that helps set us up if we wanted to set up a no-fly zone. Mm-hmm. We're saying we're not doing that. Of course, us saying we're not doing that doesn't mean we won't do that.
We've also said, though, at the first use of any chemical weapons, we're in.
Yeah. But that would have to, I don't think anybody would really argue with that logic. There's other countries that had said that as well. Although when other countries say they're going in, that's usually right behind us.
Yeah.
But that is crazy. While we're staying in that part of the world, North Korea is bragging about being able to get it up. A little surprising when you look at their leader, but North Korea successfully launched a satellite into orbit. Rest of the world, not too happy about it. They say it's a weather satellite. Everybody else thinks it's nuclear technology. It got into orbit. Nobody knows whether or not they can actually speak with it in North Korea. They don't know if it's working. They just know it's in orbit. Anybody think North Korea is the reason the Mayans were right or no? Where does North Korea fall into our worry spectrum?
I can never hear any sort of story of North Korea without just going back to the South Park movie.
Oh, yeah, right?
it's all just marionettes, and I think they're cute.
Well, that's nice.
Well, they're little.
They are little. By that logic, you and I are fun as well.
If you are not at the same time highly frightened and highly amused by North Korea, then you are not a human in my mind.
Right. Yeah.
That is the most frightening, enjoyable man to look at. He looks clownish.
He looks pleasant.
I always think he's going to bust out in a Gangnam style every time.
Right.
You know what?
He should. That would be fantastic.
Our countries would immediately get along. In Egypt, voting has started on a new constitution. and 120,000 army soldiers were deployed to protect polling stations from weeks of violence. Democracy. Isn't that nice? Let's listen to Newsy.
Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi gave the military power to maintain security and arrest civilians until the referendum vote Saturday. The new military movement is a response to the opposition's protest to push back the election and rewrite the constitution. The opposition argues the current draft will further divide the nation, the New York Times reports. Although international experts who have studied the draft say it is hardly more religious than Egypt's old constitution, opponents say it fails to adequately protect individual rights from being constricted by a future Islamist majority in parliament. Time predicts Morsi's version of the constitution will pass, but it may cost him some support in future elections. Protests are expected to continue at the presidential palace until the election.
Okay, so nice. We got the judges over there saying, I'm still protesting. We're not going to watch the polling stations. Basically, for anyone that doesn't know what's going on over there, the President Morsi had a group of his mostly, almost all Islamists write a new constitution. And anybody who's not hardcore Islamist over there is saying, this is a little vague and we're going to lose a whole lot of rights. And he said, well, shut up and vote it down then. And so they wanted him to postpone the vote and have a new group rewrite a constitution. And he's saying, vote it down. So half the people voted yesterday, another 25 million vote next week. At first they spent a lot of time saying, let's boycott. And now they tried to get enough people to vote no. So we'll...
People were really happy about the revolution in Egypt without even taking a second to think of, okay, well, what's going to happen after the revolution in Egypt?
Yeah.
When you're unhappy with what you got, you just want change.
You want him out.
Right.
You don't know what it is yet. You're like, okay, change it. Cut off my foot. That's different than where I am now.
Yeah.
Here's how we solve the Middle East is we just take all the Jews from Israel and have them go back to Egypt work as construction workers again. And then Egypt...
I'm sure that's how they felt about it the first time.
I think that my family might be upset that I just told us we're going to abandon Israel, but...
Have you seen modern-day Jews? You want them all to go do construction? Is that what you're saying?
My people need to be bulked up again. We used to be warriors, and now we're all Woody Allens. It's awful.
We can schedule it for you, but there's not much chance we're doing the heavy lifting.
When you describe them as construction workers in ancient Egypt, I will counter with those guys needed a union.
Do you have some more sunblock out here? This is awful.
The rock's heavy.
All right. In entertainment news, the nominees were announced for the 70th annual Golden Globe Awards. It's been 69 years of Golden Globes already. Just flew by, dude. Remember the first one?
It was B. Arthur at everyone.
No, but you were.
Anyway, I don't watch a lot of TV anymore, but from talking with Drew, I'm assuming this award show is going to be dominated by zombies. Let's listen to this from IGN Entertainment.
It's that time of year again, the 70th annual Golden Globes, and the nominees have been revealed. Nominations for Best Motion Picture in the drama category, as well as for Best Director, are identical. Both lists include Ben Affleck's Argo, Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained, Ang Lee's Life of Pi, Steven Spielberg's Lincoln, and Catherine Bigelow's Zero Dark Thirty. Zero Dark Thirty is definitely the favorite to win this year. It's one of the best-reviewed movies of all time.
By the way, of all time.
Of all time.
I was wondering that, and then when you watch it, it's because they're using, like, online sites.
Have these people seen Hobo with the Shotgun?
I haven't. Is that awesome?
It is.
We're going to need an hour to
discuss
it.
It depends on your definition of awesome. But, but it was interesting, I will say that. There was definitely hobos and shotguns. All right, let me get a couple quick predictions from you guys. Best Picture, which is the same all nominees as Best Director. Argo, Tarantino's Django Unchained, Life of Pi, which Drew, I know you wanted to see. I don't know if you saw it yet.
I have seen none of those movies.
Lincoln, which leads the league in nominations right now with 7 nominations, and Zero Dark Thirty, which I believe is the story about killing
I'm
going
to go with, for best movie or best
Osama.
Actor, did you say?
This one is for best picture.
I'm going to go with Blazing Saddles.
Saddles is a fine choice.
I'm going Rocky.
Okay.
I am going to go with Lincoln.
Lincoln is a good bet. Lincoln or Zero Dark Thirty would be my bet.
I haven't seen none of them. I do know Daniel Day-Lewis is just an award black hole. So. Yeah,
exactly. That's...
Yeah, Zero Dark Thirty is when they... I think that is the story where they killed Bin Laden, correct?
I absolutely... I want to see every one of those
I thought
movies.
That was about one of Drew's gangbangs.
No, that was...
Zero Dark Thirty?
That is not bad. That is not bad. It could be.
It would be Django Unchained.
Very, very nice.
I don't know what you call yours, but mine's Django.
Drew, best television series, Breaking Bad, Boardwalk Empire, Homeland, The Newsroom, or Downton Abbey, which I couldn't... If you were playing it right now, I wouldn't know what it is.
I stopped watching Newsroom after three episodes, so I can't imagine the
last. I actually
that.
Enjoy Newsroom.
I enjoy
Newsroom
the pilot.
Got better as it went.
I think it depends how liberal you are, because I've heard liberals or people who fall more on the left say they love Newsroom, and then anybody who doesn't fall that, you know, too far on the left has said, eh, it gets a little preachy.
I loved it on the first. I'm a huge West Wing fan. I love Aaron Sorkin, and I thought the first episode was fantastic. And then it became like he's just trying to jam all this like highbrow conversation in way too much without the wonderful humor that I saw in West Wing. So
No zombies in this category, dude. There's
I'm
no zombies
disappointed
anywhere.
Because I love Walking Dead.
Yes.
I do. And I think Homeland, I love Homeland. Great show. I do agree that, you know, they did something on the, I think it was The Daily Show. It was either Daily Show or Colbert. But the one thing about that show is no one's cell phone ever doesn't work. It doesn't matter where they are. They've got plenty of bars. The battery's never low.
Homeland is nominated.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great show, but I mean, these people are on their cell phones constantly, and there's never a drop call.
Claire Danes is also nominated for a drop call. Claire Danes is nominated for Best Actress as well for Homeland.
She's great.
I've heard she's great.
I watched my so-called Life. I don't know what this show is.
Really?
What? Yeah, that's nice.
I know that exists.
About nice. the terrorist? Okay.
That's nice. So you're like, well, is Saved by the Bell still on the air? That's fantastic.
TBS
that's
nice. Nonstop Comedy Block starts.
I love
three.
Breaking Bad, but I think Breaking Bad has been like one of these things. It's like Mad Men. It's like everyone's been saying it's so great for so long. It's time. Let's pick something else up.
Might be. All right, let's go to sports. The four New Orleans Saints players who were suspended for participating in a bounty program had their suspensions overturned by former NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue. Somehow this made everybody involved feel vindicated. Not really sure how that is.
Except the guys that got hurt.
Well, all the players actually didn't. The players didn't have to get suspended because they were able to play while they were appealing. Goodell said Tagliabue agreed with the exception of one player. Only one player, Fujita, was basically cleared. Everybody else, specifically Vilma, he said, was still guilty. But Tagliabue disagreed with Goodell on the punishment and said they should not be suspended. And that the punishment should more fall with the organization. Going with baseball, by the way, and if you think the American economy is struggling, you wouldn't know it if you looked at the two baseball teams in Los Angeles. Suddenly, the free-spending Dodgers just signed pitcher Zach Greinke for $147 million for 6 years. Not to be outdone, 3 days later, the Angels signed Josh Hamilton for a $125 million contract. Is it too late for me to start taking steroids? I would be great.
Josh Hamilton an actor?
No,
that's Josh Hartnett.
That's close.
He has abs.
Yeah, are you thinking of the guy you have in the poster on your wall? No, that's Hartnett.
30 Days of Night, that guy?
I don't know who that is.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I don't know.
Vampire movie.
Excited.
It's a great movie.
All right, let's get the headlines because I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Extra, it's a thing.
Of me as a child.
Ravi Shankar, master of the sitar and only person I know not named George Harrison that's ever played the sitar, died this week at the age of 92. He actually taught George Harrison how to play the sitar. And he's the father of Norah Jones, who is like 31 years old. This guy died at 92, so he was still able
to... How was his wife? That's what I would like to know.
I don't know, but he was obviously able to get his sitar up at an old age because 92, dude. I think my folks tried to get him to play the sitar at my bar mitzvah. Couldn't get him, too expensive. Had to get a no-name sitar player. Kind of blows. Based on the Mayan calendar, thousands of people are preparing for the end of the world in 5 days. I hope part of that preparation is making a list of excuses to use in 6 days.
Have they learned nothing from that preacher? You know, the guy who was like, I had the date wrong.
Perhaps I misread. That'll be interesting. Somebody spent all their money on batteries and gas masks. Good luck.
What if it actually does happen and you're the comedian who's booked for Leno, but for the day after?
They're like,
you're seeing the flame coming out like, no, I almost made it.
Yeah, I mean, that close.
I want to die on the couch. Put me on the couch anyway. Two New Mexican men arrested in a murder for hire plot were planning to strangle and castrate pop star Justin Bieber. Even more shockingly, apparently, the going rate for Bieber's testicles is only $2,500 a nut. I would think that's
they're
a little low. That's a little low for market price for a celebrity nut. No, that's nice. Anybody?
Who hired them to kill him? That's outrageous.
A guy in prison talked this other guy who was in prison with him. Then that guy left, got his cousin, and they were going to first kill two witnesses for this guy who's still in jail. And then we're going to go to New York and kill Bieber.
But the guy who came up with the whole thing... is actually obsessed. Like, he has a Justin Bieber tattoo.
Has a tattoo. He's in prison, has a Justin Bieber tattoo on his calf.
Yeah.
Which has got to do you a lot of good. He's 40-something. You're 45
tough do
years
you look
old.
In prison if you've got a Justin Bieber tattoo.
45-year-old man with a tattoo of Bieber on his leg. It's got to do great. Make you friends. It's got to make you a lot of friends in prison.
It's like the end of Ted.
And even worse, it was his plan, and then one of the morons got arrested because he had a warrant and they drove to the border by mistake. And then the other guy called prison and said, hey, man, sorry, I can't do the murders. I'm pretty disappointed. And you're all arrested. Nicely done.
Because they never monitor calls in prison.
Mike Ruzioni, captain of the legendary 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team, is auctioning off his old jersey. He's hoping to get at least $1 million for it. So if you guys want to chip in, holiday season, that would be nice.
We beat the Russians.
Last week, I asked Jeff and Becky to chip in and get me a trip to the moon, which actually would cost about $1.5 billion. This is only a million, so...
Are you coming back?
You're welcome. Depends how much you pay, I guess.
That's only, 1,000 of this guy's jerseys that you need?
Drew, if you guys don't want to do it, I'll gladly sell you my old college hockey jersey for $38. So, up to you.
I've smelled it. No, thank you.
Okay, fair enough. That's why it costs $38.
That's so weird that you smelled it.
Thank you very much. I wasn't even home at the time. Britain's government has evidence that Russia was involved in the mysterious poisoning death of former KGB agent Alexander Litvinenko, who was at the time working for British and Spanish intelligence. He was poisoned by the radioactive material polonium-210. And they should probably also test to see if he made out with Arafat before he died, because he also died from polonium-210. That would probably tie up a whole lot of loose ends. But they say that they have proof that Russia was involved and they want Russia to extradite some people.
And that's a whole new international blockbuster. Arafat and homeboy like in a make-out relationship?
Well, yeah, I made that part up.
But. Oh, man, I would have loved I would love to see that film.
No, you would not. Arafat was not a looker.
Good looking.
No.
So hot.
Starting last week, this is messed up. Starting last week, women in Saudi Arabia are now being monitored by an electronic tracking system, and their male guardians are warned by text message if they try to cross a border.
See, that is messed up. What they should do is they should all just have to kind of wear the... they should have shoes that have the same technology as, like, the shopping carts at Smart and Final. Mm. Where you get to the yellow line and it just won't move anymore. I think that would be fantastic. That way you could just... set the range on how far you want your women to walk.
That is probably not far off. I mean, unfortunately, they can't tell if the Saudi women are upset about this because they're forced to live under a sheet. Mm. So hard to tell. But we have, we'll complain to other countries about how they, about their civil rights records. And then they have women being tracked electronically. They say they're not allowed. They warn them if they try to cross the border or, as most people would say, escape.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's rude. You could just chip them.
When dealing with the natural disasters like Hurricane Katrina or Sandy, the U.S. has shown one thing over the years, and that's that nobody responds with a better benefit concert. The 12-12-12 concert for Sandy relief did not disappoint. It was the most watched, most accessible concert and distributed live, biggest concert event ever. $30 million just from ticket sales alone. Think about 2 billion people worldwide watched it between television and internet. Some unbelievable people. You're talking, obviously, you got your Billy Joels and your Bruce Springsteens and your Bon Jovis because of where it is.
Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones, The Who, Paul McCartney on stage with the surviving members of Nirvana. Phenomenal concert, and you can still buy it.
A waste of time. Did you see Kanye West?
That is a waste of time. But you can still buy that. You can still buy that, and all the money goes to charity, which is fantastic. Anne Hathaway has joined Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan as women who have been violated by disgusting paparazzi who profit off of catching people in compromising positions.
Oh, God, yes.
Hathaway has also joined Britney and Lindsay as women whose vaginas I looked at online as soon as I found out it was available. Yes.
Look, you can blame the paparazzi, but seriously, there is a very easy way not to have your snatch photographed.
Bat vag.
I'm assuming your advice is wear panties. Is that your advice?
Yeah, I would be. Let me see. Yes.
My advice is keep doing what you're doing. You're perfect.
No, I have no problem with them doing it. I'm just saying.
Just the way you are.
Yeah. Just don't complain about it. Like, you can't throw it out there. It's like.
No, that's tough. You can't. I don't think she meant it.
Out there.
I wish she would throw it my way. All right, I want to thank my guests, Rich. thank you very much for helping Drew and I out through that conversation. Rich Slayton, if for any reason you're angry, send your hate mail to Drew Marks.
No, no douche of the week, huh?
No, we don't have any time for douche of the week.
It was Mike Huckabee.
Oh, well, that seems fair enough.
Sure.
Mike Huckabee, yeah, for blaming us for not allowing God to stop the shooting. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll see you next week on Extreme XM 165 in collaboration with SkidRowStudios.com. Thank you.